This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, it's Mraz. Kevin Durant says it's me or the front office. Plus, we take out the trash on a Trash Tuesday. It's the best of the DA show. Now.
But today is just one of those summer days that happened to be owned by the Kevin Durant news cycle. Because remember just before the 4th of July weekend, we were talking about how Kevin Durant shockingly was asking for a trade? Well, it appeared that things had settled down. The screeching, the concern had quieted. And because there was nothing else coming out of the Brooklyn Nets about it, nothing else coming out of the NBA reporting circles about it, perhaps Kevin Durant's hot temper or emotions had subsided, and then he was going to come back to Brooklyn, tempers coming down. And instead, we get the report yesterday that over the weekend, Kevin Durant sat down with Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets in London, and reiterated, you've got to trade me. And if you don't trade me, then you've got to fire the GM and the head coach, Steve Nash, and Sean Marks. At this point, does Brooklyn have any shot of keeping Kevin Durant, or is their hand forced? It is where we begin, your cold open.
Come on, man. Like, Steve's been dealt a crazy hand the last 2 years. He had to deal with so much stuff as a head coach, first-time coach, and trades, injuries, COVID, just a lot of stuff he had to deal with. And I'm proud of how he just focused and his passion for us. And, we all, continue to keep developing over the summer and see what happens.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Then, of course, being Kevin Durant earlier, I frankly don't know how the Brooklyn Nets can feel confident or comfortable at all running any of this back. Knowing what we know about Kyrie Irving, knowing now what we're seeing from Kevin Durant, I just don't know how the Nets can feel any level of comfort saying, you know what, we want to keep this thing together and try it again, unless you were just so terrified of the alternative. Because let's just make sure we are clear on this. For Kevin Durant to say it's me or them is telling Joe Tsai that A, the guy that actually has had more success in a Brooklyn Nets uniform than Kevin Durant, Sean Marks, who helped drag that franchise out of the muck, out of the darkness after the failed Celtics deal from a number of years ago, that guy's not worthy of his job. That's what you're saying. Now, KD has had no success in a Brooklyn uniform. Sean Marks helped build up from nothing, at the very least, a playoff team even before Kyrie and KD got there. So that's the first thing disrespect to the GM, even though KD's done nothing in a Nets uniform. Number two, to look at Steve Nash and say it's me or him. Why do you think that Steve Nash is there? Steve Nash was a personal trainer workout guy with Kevin Durant at Golden State. The entire Steve Nash assistant coaching staff all have Kevin Durant ties. They specifically built a staff for Kevin Durant. So now KD's also saying me or him, or me or them, them and him are there because of you. So if you want to trust Kevin Durant, you've got to trust him in those two realms, which I couldn't possibly do in good faith. You could make the argument that perhaps Steve Nash is in over his head. But for Kevin Durant to say, fire the GM, fire the coach, or you got to trade me, is incredible. Unless all of this is simply a way for him to say, get rid of Kyrie Irving or get rid of me. But I can't say that because I can't offend my buddy. Unless somehow the Sean Marks, Steve Nash thing is a stand-in for what he doesn't like about Kyrie Irving. And just basically is giving Joe's sign ultimatum that he knows is really about trading Kevin Durant. But KD can't say you got to trade me because I hate Kyrie. Because he can't say that because they're buds. So he's got to say trade me because I hate fill in the blank, the GM and the head coach. All of this is just an example of how you can't trust either one of those guys to be the focal points, the centerpieces of your franchise. And I totally understand you're going, yeah, but if you sell off Kevin Durant, you're going to get 75 cents on the dollar at best, DA. You aren't getting back a Hall of Fame player. And you yourself, DA, just said after the baseball trade deadline that if you trade away a Hall of Fame player in his prime, no matter how many prospects or draft picks you get back, you'll never equal the Hall of Fame player in his prime, a.k.a. the Juan Soto deal. And that is true. But Juan Soto hasn't had a 15-year history of bailing when it's tough, or joining because it's easy, or bickering with fans, with opponents, with analysts, with sportscasters, with randos on social media, of having the I'm not happy every 5 minutes of his career. Soto didn't have that, nor did the other guys that I was talking about have that. That part of Kevin Durant is specific to Kevin Durant. You get into a relationship with somebody who is a depressed individual, somebody who lacks any ability to find their own happiness or direction, or is flippant or changes by the wind, you are at their mercy. You are at their mercy. The Nets can't help that about Kevin Durant. Cut bait, get out of doing business with KD and Kyrie. This is too much. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. And perhaps it's exactly what Kevin Durant wants, just making as much noise as possible until he gets his way, and you don't want to just serve him his way. But what's the alternative? Again, being in business with this guy who wants both the GM and the head coach that he picked to be fired? Come on. I don't know where this leaves a Nets fan such as Mraz. I really don't. I don't know where this leaves you because I saw you on Twitter yesterday saying you'd rather keep Kevin Durant because the other two guys haven't accomplished anything either.
And I'm extremely thankful that it seems like the far majority of Nets fans agree with me. This is easy. This isn't even a second thought. And I know it doesn't make it right, and it's a deal with the devil, but DA, I can't reiterate this enough. It is so easy to say when you aren't a Nets fan that this is what you should do. Don't get in bed with him anymore. Get rid of him and let Sean Marks build this team right. It is so hard to build an NBA championship team. It is so hard. They are not the Celtics. They are not the Lakers. No free agents come here. And the best draft picks, first round picks, they always seem to turn up solid good players. Kenyon Martin, Richard Jefferson, Jared Allen. But they never get that premier prestige guy in the draft. They have that here, another guy who can still play in his prime for another 2-3 years. Maybe they don't win a championship, but their best path to a championship is still the devil deal made with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. And if not, they are at best the spunky sixth seed. And by the time, by the way, they even get close to maybe thinking they're about a championship team, Joseph Tsai is going to get impatient and probably fire Sean Marks anyway, and then restart. So to me, do it now and make the deals with the superstars and let the chips fall where they may.
So two things. You say we never get the tier A free agent, but you got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
That was it.
Do you think it could never happen again? I mean,
especially not if they see that they just threw these two superstars out after they wanted
a
little
say. They're not throwing them out. These guys are demanding out.
Well, exactly. They were in enough of a situation that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving weren't happy. And whatever we think of Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving is fine. Clearly, other NBA superstars gravitate and like these guys. Clearly. Including Kyrie Irving.
Well, I don't know. Do you think people like Kyrie Irving or just Kevin Durant likes Kyrie Irving? Or even Kevin Durant might not like Kyrie Irving anymore.
Oh, I think yesterday was further proof that this is all about Kevin Durant did not like the way the front office treated Kyrie Irving without giving him an extension. I think that much became very clear yesterday, that this is about Kyrie Irving.
You don't think this could be a leverage point to get me away from Kyrie?
Absolutely not.
He's asking for a trade.
Yeah, and the Nets have basically said Kyrie's gone after this year because we're not signing him long-term to an extension. I think this is so clear that he tied himself to Kyrie and doesn't like that the Nets aren't going out of their way now to give Kyrie the same extension they gave him.
The second part of it is I don't understand why you have no faith in Sean Marks. This franchise was at the absolute dregs of the league. They had no assets.
You're right.
And piece by piece, brick by brick, he helped build them into, again, maybe a sixth seed, but a series of assets, a series of draft picks, and a series of really smart basketball moves to get them out. Had he been given 5 more years, even without Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, you could make the argument he was going to build them into a great NBA franchise.
DA, I have no qualms with the way Sean Marks built up that team with D'Angelo Russell and Jared Allen and such. And it was a fun team. But that was what, unless you get a superstar, which they ended up getting with Kevin Durant, that's what is you? What is you at all? You're a team that's going to be fun to watch throughout the regular season, but ultimately lose to whatever one of the 3 or 4 powerhouses there are. It's just the way the league is structured. Now, if you want to tell me you give them another 5 years and then they're a contender, they're only that if they absolutely hit on a star in the draft. That's just the way the league operates. The Jazz got really good because they hit on Donovan Mitchell. Like all of these teams, it's all about hitting on the right A star and then having that team built around him. He proved he's good at building that team around him, but how can I guarantee that he's going to draft a superstar? It's so hard to do.
Because look at what he did with almost no assets. He has such an eye for talent. He did find Jarrett Allen. He did find Spencer Dinwiddie. He did find Joe Harris. He did find all these guys, Caris LeVert, and they had no assets. He gave Mozgov all that money because he knew he could flip the D'Angelo Russell deal around. I mean, he made like 5 or 6 really smart basketball moves.
He's great at building a core roster. But a core roster only gets you so far in
the
NBA.
But he might be great at building more of it. He just didn't have the time until KD and Kyrie wanted to come.
But he could have said no. They could have said no to KD. But why didn't you? Why didn't you say no? Because you knew that that was your best path to a championship, which is my point.
But maybe you see now that this is not tenable. So you got to jettison these guys and start over again. And maybe you wait for the next tier A superstar to want to come, and then, you know, that's your focal point. But why trust Kevin Durant over a guy that did his job as well as Sean Marks could have possibly done? No GM could have done a better job with what he was handed. Why would you fire that guy?
Because I'm trusting the guy with a ring on his finger in Kevin Durant, and I'm trusting the fact that—
Think about that!
35 years on this earth, I've never seen the Nets win a championship. I saw a couple finals appearances with Jason Kidd. I am assuming that if I make it another 35 years, if they dump Kevin Durant out, I am never also going to see an NBA championship. This is my window right now. And also, you're talking about an owner that invested so much money recently. That's the other underlying part of this in Joseph Tsai. And publicly last night, he's tweeting about you know, I'm going to stand behind my front office. That's fine. But when nobody shows up to the Barclays Center and you can't sell Ben Simmons jerseys and the places it goes down and you're never on national TV anymore, and even if you build back up that fun team, I don't trust this owner to stay patient enough another 5, 6, 7 years down the road to allow Marks to build to the point where they would be a championship contender again. So if in the end, my assumption is he's going to get impatient, we're going to go 5 years, and he pulls the plug before the team's built up back to being a champion, I'd rather pull the plug now and give the money to the superstars and let them run the team.
Well, I mean, then you're assuming that as good as Marks' job could be, he's going to get fired anyway, and that would be a shame. I think Sean Marks is a top 5 to top 6 GM in the NBA. I think he's shown no reason to not believe he's really, really good at this. He's from the San Antonio Spurs system. He knows how to build a roster. He was doing so with no assets whatsoever. He identified talent in the draft, not even at the top of the draft. If you give him time and resources, he'll get it done. And Kevin Durant, why would you ever trust that he's going to deliver you a championship? He delivered championships to a team that couldn't lose.
I'm looking at my percentage of chances of winning a championship, and it tells me in the next 2, 3 years, I have a chance with Kevin Durant. I don't think in the next 5, 7 years, I have a chance at a championship with Sean Marks.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
All right, welcome back. Remember, you can listen to the DA Show and the rest of CBS Sports Radio using the free Odyssey app. We begin with Boomer Esiason on WFAN and the CBS Sports Network yesterday. Was at New York Giants training camp. Head coach, new head coach Brian Daboll, who Mraz's job security is tied to this season, sits down with Boomer. And Boomer's ready to go, but is the Daboll ganger.
You take a 3-point lead. You got 13 seconds left to go, and you got to kick the ball off to Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes. What do you do in that situation? What did you learn about that situation?
I can't tell you.
You can't tell me? Why not?
I just gave it right back to you, what you gave me. I'm gonna let that one lie.
Did you get a congratulatory text from Bill Belichick? Because he was sending congratulatory texts all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. You want to answer that? I was just wondering.
Wow. I mean, Daboll, come on. It's freaking training camp. It's August the 8th. The easy diplomatic way to talk about what happened last year. And it wasn't Daboll's fault, right? He's the OC
right
in Buffalo. So the fact that they didn't get the ball back in overtime, which is why the Chiefs beat him, is on the defensive coordinator. All he has to say is, look, I'm the head coach of the New York Giants. I loved my time in Buffalo. Tough way to lose, but proud of my guys. You know, I wish we would have won that game. All you got to do. Then what Boomer's joking about is that's how the Brian Flores thing happened. Daboll gets the Giants job. Belichick mistakenly texts Brian Flores, congratulations. Flores like, I got the Giants job? I don't think so. And so that's how that whole thing blew up. And okay, that's a little bit uncomfortable. All right. So maybe that's a little bit tough, but you can't even laugh at that. I don't know. I heard that Dable was this really great, down-to-earth, easygoing guy. What the hell is this here, Mraz?
Well, yeah, and the rest of the interview got a little better. By the way, the follow-up for Gio at that point was, now let's get into Deshaun Watson as a joke, and again, just stone silence. That was how the interview started. He warmed up, and he was kind of fun and love, but yeah, he's got to lighten up a little bit. It's loosey-goosey. It's supposed to be training camp.
Well, why would he just stonewall the Bills question? The Bills Chiefs.
My guess is, well, first, he's got to be better prepared to answer the question. I guess he doesn't want to sound like he's throwing any of his former colleagues or coaches under the bus, right? But still, you can laugh about it. It's a year later, it's fine. You know, we learned from those lessons.
Even if you're not laughing about it, like I said, just be diplomatic about it. You know, tough way to lose. Obviously, the Chiefs are a great team.
Right. Patrick Mahomes, incredible. Right. You're right. I don't know. I don't feel good about it.
Get that resume ready.
I don't feel good about any of this.
Well, remember that going into this season, luckily for Mraz, both Giants GM Joe Shane and head coach Brian Daboll have to both be fired after this season. If that happens, Mraz is forced to resign from his position. He can remain employed at CBS Sports Radio. It doesn't affect hosting one giant step or whatever the iteration is in 2023.
One small leap.
That's already on a hiatus.
But it doesn't matter name or co-host, right? You can stay on that thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It only affects him being the executive producer of the DA show. It is unfortunately written in a contract at this point in time. If both Shane and Daboll are fired before the second season is completed.
Right, before the end of 2023.
Correct. Then Mraz is unfortunately forced to, and I don't want to see this, he's forced to resign his position here on the show.
And after you hire Jack Stern, I'll be rehired in one day.
Well, look, I'll be honest. Why we're not rooting for this is the bench is thin here. But let's say...
we'll find somebody.
But let's say, okay, we find ourselves February 2024, okay? No, I guess it would have to happen before that.
Yeah, we need an in-season fire next year, worst-case scenario.
So, let's say it's December 2023, and unfortunately the Giants are once again locked into a awful losing spiral at four wins.
They're a combined 8-28 in 2 years under Daboll.
And the Maras decide, okay, it's time to cut bait. Well, Amanda the intern would be only one semester away from graduation. In fact, she's graduating a semester early.
Yeah, fall of 23. So she could literally walk from graduation, cap and gown, to here and replace Sean.
She wants to walk, she told me, in the spring commencement.
Right.
But she would be out of school, technically, by winter break. So there could be an easy swap there where Amanda comes in. And Mraz is then, he can still host one giant step. I don't want to take that away from him.
And BetQL is still fine?
BetQL is in play as well.
How nice of you guys.
Yeah. We wouldn't want to mess with your Sunday shenanigans with former TRL hosts.
Any fill-in shifts too, you know.
Yeah. And look, when Amanda's off or pick your next executive producer, then Mraz gets to step in and get...
I'm not filling in for them.
And get shifts.
No, I mean, you called the bench thin. Amanda and Pat Boyle are not a thin bench.
Well...
that's a legit twosome.
I didn't want to bring up Boyle because that's the one that is a realistic
type.
I'm going on the assumption that somewhere somebody else is leaving and he's getting a full-time job in the next
few years. Yeah, you need Boyle to get promoted somewhere.
That's my assumption.
Yeah, but then this is a promotion from that.
It's one of those systems where it's very top-heavy and the back end is kind of thin.
Pogish is right. You know, Boyle could end up becoming the nighttime host somewhere, and then this job opens up and they offer him this and it becomes, you know, you get DA money with this job.
Right.
So he's in Grand Rapids or Calgary now, is what you're saying?
Yeah, or he's, you know, maybe Shep gets an NBA hosting gig somewhere, so he produces for JR for a little bit, and then you have to step down, and then this would be a step up from Boyle, with all due respect to JR. It's a better time spot, and we've seen what that chair leads to.
Jack gets updates.
Where am I going?
Bottom line is this. The Giants are not firing a general manager before the end of the next 2 years. That being said, I'm very concerned about Brian Daboll. I think the team's going to stink. I think they're going to win 3 or 4 games. I'm very concerned.
I mean, that's the best case scenario. If this year's a disaster, just to put it in possibility of cleaning house again.
I don't think that there's an outcome this year that doesn't make 2023 nerve-wracking for Mraz. I think they could go 9-8 this year, which would be shockingly good. But if next year, because this year was a, you know, a fraud 9-8, they're suddenly 4-13, you could definitely see it happen.
I don't know. I would disagree with that. They know they have to give this time. Like, they need, for next year to be in play, they have to be awful this year. Kayvon Thibodeau needs to, like, fight Daniel Jones and, like, break Daniel Jones' arm in a practice fight to sully the number 5 pick. Like, they need to have a lot of bad things happen this year to move the Giants away from their commitment to Shane and Dable. So 9-8 this year, Sean can do whatever he wants. They're not getting fired in 2023.
Wow. Well, they're not going to go 9-8.
No.
This is more like at best a 7-10. Probably at best a 6-11.
Yeah, everybody keeps saying they have an easy schedule. What do you think those easy teams are looking at on their schedule saying?
Yeah, those easy teams are going, I can't wait for the Giants week.
Exactly.
We might get one.
Well, so Brian Dable is low energy, won't answer questions, not very open or outgoing. And then there's the fiery Dan Campbell with the Lions training camp.
Listen, I would say this. You guys have heard me say this, but I think what makes Detroit special is the fact that, man, you guys will roll your sleeves up and put in a hard day's work. And I think we want to model ourselves after that. I tell you what, you would give your coat in winter. You would give your coat to somebody in winter that needed it, man. That's what this community is about. However, nobody will take advantage of our hospitality. Nobody. So that's who we're about. That's what we're about. This team is working their rear off to give you something to be proud of. All right, they're grinding it out right now. And I know this. We are freaking starving. We are starving. So the hyenas better get out of the way. All right, man.
Honestly, I made a huge mistake here. I texted this to Mraz last night when I saw this, and I said, sound check. And I should have made this its own segment. This is, you can do 20 minutes on this soundbite.
DA, we're about to have 4 weeks of this. They start Hard Knocks tomorrow.
I mean, number one, he's addressing the crowd and being like, I love this place. I love Detroit. You guys are amazing, hardworking, roll up your sleeves. But then somehow he gets paranoid. Well, we won't let them take advantage of your hospitality. You guys are really nice, but not that nice. We won't be pushovers because you guys are so nice. You guys donate to soup kitchens. You give away your jackets. You let people crash in your couch, but wait, we won't let those people that take the canned goods take advantage of us. Like, where did that come from? Who in the NFL says, you know what? The Lions are so nice, we can take advantage of their hospitality.
I'll tell you what, you would give your coat in winter.
It's such a dumb sports connection.
That's been their problem. Super talented.
Yeah.
They're just too nice.
Yeah, just
we don't want to beat you.
So generous. We won't let people take advantage of your generosity, Detroit. You guys are awesome in the community. We won't let the Bears come here and beat us because you guys are so nice. Then he's like, we're starving. We're starving. So the hyenas better get out of the way. I don't even get that metaphor.
They're
and
lying.
I know this. We are freaking starving.
So the point is that as they're lions, the hyenas have been in their way of success?
No, the food. You never saw the Lion King, the laughing hyenas, the lions? They're all battling for the same food.
But the
he
lions
didn't think that.
The lions kill the food. The hyenas are just scavengers. So lions are never worried about hyenas. Hyenas just come back and eat the rest of the carcass.
Go watch The Lion King.
So you think
we are starving.
You think Dan Campbell's making a Mufasa reference there?
Yes, they're lions. That's genius by him. They're hyenas. You guys
so the hyenas better get out of the way.
the hyenas better get out of the way because we're starving.
Yeah, we're going to come back and pick at that carcass. It's not yours.
We are starving.
Yeah, I don't know that hyenas prevent lions from eating.
No, hyenas are like little dogs. Lions can come and eat them if they'd like.
And again, I know that it's a movie, Sean. I don't know if you watched it recently with your kid, but I don't know that it's like sponsored by National Geographic, that's the correct relationship.
I didn't tell you that it's correct. I'm telling you that's what Dan Campbell's doing here.
He's making a Lion King reference.
Dan Campbell, the only reference he had on lions when he took the lion shop was the lion.
Well, that's actually probably right on.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he's like, in theory, right, like National Geographic. I'm telling you what the reference is.
That's probably true.
So the hyenas better get out of the way.
Dan Campbell's wildlife reference points are the same as Merez.
Absolutely.
Disney cartoons.
Should see what he thinks about mermaids.
And you know what? I love those little dancing, singing crabs at the bottom of the ocean.
We are starving.
So Sebastian and the rest of those crabs better get out of the way.
So the hyenas better get out of the
voice.
Way.
We're taking it back. We can sing beautifully.
Under the sea, my ass.
You know what? The two dogs I own will be sharing one strand of spaghetti by the end of this season.
He's combing his hair with a toothbrush.
You see that beast? He got the girl.
And finally, one elderly caller to After Hours with Amy Lawrence called Dean. Caller's name is Dean. Had an interesting admission for Amy.
Let's talk to Dean, who's in Texas. Dean, are you awake?
What I plan on doing when my time comes is to be cremated with my late cat and place us in an urn and have him put the urn right next to my niece.
Can I just ask where the cat is now?
I got her in a plastic box. Her name is Gracie.
Oh, Gracie. Gracie the cat.
Yeah.
How old was Gracie when she died?
One time I took her to the doctor, and then he said there was nothing they could do.
Oh.
And so I took her home, and I was sitting on the sofa, and I fell asleep, and I woke up, and she was gone, Amy.
Oh. That's the type of heartbreaking story you don't want on sports radio.
Is this done to a news?
That's the kind of poignant, heart-wrenching story you don't want in the middle of your Kevin Durant take. Boy, that's brutal. Amy did a good job there showing some type of sensitivity, because that would be easy to just kind of like be...
I would have lost it.
You'd start laughing at Dean?
Yeah, I mean, the moment he said the cat's at home in the plastic box, that would have been...
What was going on to warrant that call?
They were taking calls on how shocked they were at Olivia Newton-John's passing and talking about when you die, what would you... Like, that was the kind of radio last night, yeah.
Wow.
Pat, you want to be buried? You want to be cremated? Somehow that became a conversation. I listened to a couple callers, and this guy wanted to be cremated with his cat.
You know, look... I'm not going to judge, because who knows where I am after Rosie passes. And look, she might outlast me, but.
Well, that's why I put it in there. I'm curious. Yeah. Would you want to be cremated with Rosie?
I don't think I could have Rosie's remains in my house. I think that'd be
painful.
Too difficult. I'd have a lot of pictures. I'd have a lot of mementos. I'd have a lot of memories, but I don't think I could have the remains of anybody. My parents, a loved one, Rose. I don't think I could have the remains in the house.
I agree. But what about a yard burial? With a nice stone.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. That's what I planned.
Yeah, I did that with my dogs. Okay.
Yeah, well, we remember at Bob's Bar, we were not allowed to relieve ourselves in the part of the yard where it's the dog.
Tell you something. Second period of that Ranger game, Dan Mechanicsburg got close.
Did he?
Dan, behind the pool.
You know, I will say, for as much as you are dog-loving family, I didn't think they were marked as identifiable enough. I thought there would be larger headstones.
Oh, so when it says J very clearly in big writing in Wellington, it wasn't big enough for you?
Well, it was
what,
like
did you want
rock.
Me to get the big raised ones like Grandpa and Grandma have?
Maybe.
They're ground stones.
They were rocks, right?
Well, no, they were actually sleet. Slate carved into, you know, and they have nice sayings on it, you know?
I see. I didn't see that. I apologize. I didn't see
that. Well, yeah, I mean, my dad should have got back there with the trimmer ahead of time and made sure they were edged out properly.
Yeah, yeah. I just kind of, I saw it. I was thinking there was headstones.
We're glossing over the fact that there's an okay places in that backyard to urinate. Like, it sounds sweet, like, oh, here's the dog graveyard, don't go there. Just take three steps to your left, drop trowel, right, and do what you need to do on the petunias.
And mom doesn't like that, but the rest of us make our own rules.
To the right of the tomatoes, it's fine. Right next to the shed, it's fine. Just not next to the graves. Then you're good.
That's a tough one. You know what? This is a good question about cremation and pets and pets burials. I'm glad you put this in. We've got to get to an update here, but I think
well,
I might
have 30 seconds.
I might revisit this at some point today.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, listen to us on the free Odyssey app. Bring us your trashes. DA on CBS. Mraz, lead us off.
DA, this has been a trash, might be an annual summer trash for me, but it needs to be brought up again as I had experienced this a couple weeks ago in Sesame Place and had a friend experience this week at a water park called Splish Splash. Get your kids under control. A lazy river is a lazy river. I am so sick and tired of getting my fat ass squeezed into a tube to sit there and float around this river full of chlorine and, you know, fallen leaves and being pushed around. It's like a moat. And yet there's just horseplay going on. It is a lazy river. You can frolic through the wave pool. Mm. You want to jump off a tube while on a slide and get kicked out of the park. That's your business. It is meant for relaxation, not for everybody to be jumping out, kids screaming, throwing tubes at each other, and running through the lazy river. A lazy river is to remain lazy, and we need to start enforcing this all over water parks all over this country.
Okay, trash them.
That deserves a trash can emoji.
Bad children behavior at these places, huh?
Yeah, it's just to get your kids under control. Tell them to stay lazy or get out.
Are your kids under control?
They will be the lazy river, maybe not elsewhere.
Okay.
But like I'm talking about like 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds. Teach your kids manners.
Gotcha. So rambunctious preteens.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm getting hit with a tube here. Let me just lay down and look at the big bird spouting the water out.
Okay.
Wait, so you got bullied by preteens at
Happens
Sesame
every
Place?
Year now. Great Wolf Lodge. People don't know how to just sit in a tube and float.
They have flower socks?
It's like our minds are going a million miles an hour. Just float in a tube. It's the essence of the ride. It's all the ride is meant to be. That's all we're asking you to do.
No. Okay. Pete the Body, who are you trashing?
I am trashing Steve Holman, who is the voice of the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh.
Because he had, not for his great career, but for his terrible Twitter etiquette.
Oh.
Let's go back to Sunday when the Mets were about to take 4-5 from the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
So he puts out there, right when Jacob DeGrom is dominating the Braves, he puts out, do Mets fans know who won the World Series just last year? I believe 1986 was 36 years ago. Okay, fine. You know, that's warranted.
Right, you can always hang the 86 on.
Right, that right. Yeah. So I then reply.
Oh!
I reply, nothing harsh to, you know, warrant the reaction.
Yeah.
I reply, I know the team that lost 4-5 to the Mets today.
Yeah.
Referring to the Braves.
Uh-huh.
Blocked.
Oh.
Wow, you got blocked.
I got blocked for that comment.
You know, it's funny that you bring this up. A guy that I really like, Barrett Salee, who does college football
for
CBS.
Another one.
He, throughout the entire weekend, big Atlanta Braves fan, big Atlanta sports fan. And we've talked about it before on the show, and I gave him his run in October when they won, and we were talking college football with him, but he got to gloat a little bit about the Braves. Tweeted, "Woo, buddy, the inevitable downfall of the Mets is going to be epic." Now, look, I get it that the Mets have been choke artists for a long time. Like you said, 86 is a long time ago, and the Braves just won a World Series. But You're going to talk as an Atlanta fan about other fan bases' epic collapses?
Exactly.
I mean, you're a Falcons fan. You're a Braves fan. You're a Georgia Bulldogs fan. I know Georgia just won the championship, but again, all teams known as just complete choke artists. So, look, I gave the Braves their due in October. Bogus and Bilotti hated me for it, but I believe in giving winners their due. The Mets just took 4-5, opened up a 7-game lead in the division, and all Braves fans can say is how bad the Mets suck.
Yeah, they're bad losers.
And won last year, which has zero application to now.
Really?
Losers. Wow. They're horrible losers.
How quickly they have forgotten how bad they've been losers for how long. I mean, since 95, and even before that, it's just been choke after choke after choke after choke by the Braves.
Right, but I've had all those division titles and only two championships. Yeah. I mean, get lost.
They won the NL East for 15 straight years and got one ring out of it. And so, they're going to start barking about, you know, epic collapses?
Hey, be honest, though. The Met fan, but not you guys, getting a little annoying.
Oh, here we go. Boy.
No, they're not.
A little annoying. Here we go.
I don't know.
DA actually doesn't partake in this. But the social media, and it's a little, I do it with the Nets, it's a New York thing, the second franchises, when they come about and have their big year every so often, there's something about it comes across a little, and I'm guilty of this, it comes across a little annoying.
Look, are New Yorkers obnoxious? No doubt about it. Are we loud and brash? No doubt about it. But if you're watching this series this weekend, and you're the Braves getting pounded into submission, you can't gloat. You just got to go away. I mean, this is not your time to be picking on the other team that just destroyed you. They ended the division in early August.
What they can't do is if the Mets beat them in the playoffs, they also can't shut it down and point to last year either. Then you better be sticking around if you're going to be. Steve Holman better unblock and accept the heat.
then you got the pitcher on Sunday, Strider. Who's out there basically saying it was all the Mets falling into mistakes and luck. I mean, come on. He got his ass kicked.
He's a dumb rookie.
Get lost.
He said luck doesn't happen in October as if he was around last October. He lost like the rest of us did.
It's weird. It's weird.
Well, get him out. Enough. I mean, I didn't warrant a block on that, so get lost.
That's just offensive.
And that's the other part, too. When you're going to say things that you know people are going to respond to, how do you then block people?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. If it's unwarranted aggression on Twitter and you just like want to get away from it, totally get it. But you can't lob a grenade, then get the return shrapnel, and then start blocking everybody.
Plus, there's a mute button. Mute Bilotti if you want to never hear from him again without the satisfaction or the bad look of you actually getting the block notification. You can mute him, and he'll never know. Yeah. And you don't have to hear from him.
Holman better not be applying to run the board here because Pete's not going to have it.
I block the porn bots on Twitter, but regular people, there's no reason to block them. Just mute them.
Caserta, so why don't you just mute the porn bots?
I've never thought of it that way. I didn't think that far ahead.
Yeah, but those probably should be blocked just so they don't actually trick you into having your account hacked. Like, you need those as far. Like, you need them off the board altogether.
Yeah. All right, AB, who are you trashing?
So, my wife and I have a favorite burger spot in the area. In particular, because my wife loves a lamb burger. So, got lamb, all this Mediterranean stuff going on top.
I've had one of those.
Sunday, she goes, I'm feeling like a lamb burger. Let's order from this place. Okay, great. Now, the last time, a couple months ago, we made the order. Same thing. Lamb burger comes. It's supposed to come with a little side cup of tzatziki sauce that you would add on to the lamb burger.
Yeah.
As my wife's opening the container, immediately gets a whiff of like a sweet sugary smell and goes, as she's about to pour in her lamb burger, it's not tzatziki sauce, it's fluff. It's for a dessert.
Ew.
Yes. So she calls the place, this is months ago, calls the place and goes, somebody made a mistake. In case it happens again, I'm just letting you know that your fluff is too close to your tzatziki. And that's a big thing. The woman on the phone could not have cared less. Fast forward to Sunday. Order comes, delivery. The wife sits down, goes, ha, 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 let's see if it's fluff again. Opens up, it's fluff again.
Oh, my God.
So now it's like they've got fluff in the tzatziki bin in the fluff, or there's never been tzatziki, or they have the worst tzatziki ever. And now it's not an accident. Now this is like malpractice. So this little burger spot in Rockville Center, New York, get yourself out. Learn what tzatziki is.
Wow. Illegal dumping.
Get them out. Would you make a fluff lamb burger here, Mraz?
Yes, I'd have it.
Of course you would.
No, because think about it. We've done peanut butter on the regular burger and it ended up being a pivotal point in American history.
Sure.
If you do fluff on a lamb burger, maybe it might work. Now, again, the fluff's got to spread. Sometimes sticky fluff doesn't spread well. If you got a nice spready fluff, it's worth a shot.
Fluff on lamb? I think that's a terrible combination.
That's a Greek recipe for
tzatziki. Just order a regular burger.
It's a fluff base. Our own proprietary blend.
It's a fluff base.
That's awful.
I tell you, the second time that's happening, I'm in the car over there, and I'm making sure.
Yeah.
Well, thankfully, the first time she didn't spoil the burger. She knew it was fluff because it smelled of melted marshmallow. And this time she did it as a joke to check for it. But, like, somebody somewhere has definitely dumped fluff on their lamb burger. And this is now months where it's still happening.
It could be dumping fluff on gyros.
Anything.
Souvlaki.
I just want to know what the dessert is on the menu that requires the fluff in a cup.
Yeah, tzatziki sundae.
Tzatziki sauce.
Does fluff go with anything aside from peanut butter? Is it used anywhere else?
S'mores, you doofus.
S'mores? Don't you just use regular marshmallows?
No, but like a s'more dessert with a graham cracker crumble, like a brulee with a chocolate.
A brulee.
With a spoon.
Okay. I just would.
But doesn't that begin as a marshmallow? Like, they're not putting fluff on that. They're melting a marshmallow.
Yeah, you're melting it down into fluff.
Right, but he means the actual canister
of the jar.
Fluff.
Yeah,
like,
the
what jar are you using that for?
You could spread it on a rice cake.
Ew.
Well, again,
you guys are undervaluing marshmallows.
Don't even have the rice cake.
I'll have a rice cake.
Really? Yeah.
Cut out the rice cake.
You went
at that point.
You wanted to cut calories and went rice cake, and then it added melted marshmallow on it.
It takes away the bread. You guys need to learn something about dieting.
It's the same thing as I'll do the salad, but in the giant taco shell. I'll do the soup in a giant bread bowl. Yeah. It's like so unnecessary.
This is the guy on front that said he eats cleaner than me, and he puts fluff on a rice cake, and we're the idiots.
We need to learn more about dieting. Sign the guy that tried to lose 100 pounds and gained 20.
And I'm learning how to not diet. You guys don't diet. You just live your life frolicking like these skinny string beans all over the place. What is fluff? How are you? Why would we even put it on a rice cake?
Don't know if you noticed. What is that? Don't know if you noticed, but Pete and Bogish have dieted and lost weight and kept it off.
I'm on the rice cakes now. They cut out the carbs. You can put anything you want on a rice cake.
You had a fat journal for 4 months.
Right, you can eat a chicken cutlet sandwich between two rice cakes. I got news for you. You're losing more weight than you were if you were eating enough bread.
How could you point the finger at two guys who have dieted successfully? Have both lost weight and kept it off and say, you guys don't know how to diet correctly. I do.
I've lost weight. Look at that fat picture of me in 2013.
Dude,
I lost weight.
13.
That's insulting. I have. I got fat. Pete tucking in his shirt here. It doesn't look like a diet to me. Fat.
I mean, again, we created a fat journal.
Fat.
John Sterling read it. And since then, I've got Justin Shackle highlights to play because that's what they used to finally win the battle with Sterling and take some days off. We needed a fad journal. It's your fault. And we're the skinny ones. We're the wrong ones.
I'm here for
hash, fluff. Hash, a go-go.
Yeah. John, hey, it's Odyssey Management.
Go-go.
We think it's
St. Patty's drink count. 1 yardstick Kona, big wave. 4 Corona premieres with green dye.
And but now he only works in the Eastern time zone.
That's dieting correctly.
Right.
6 Bud Light aluminum bottles, 6 Jameson shots at the 9 Fine Irishman party.
That's dieting correctly.
It was sure.
3 Captain and Patty's Gingers
on
Fremont Street.
Was off.
I walked virtually the entire strip. I had fluff on my rice cake. I forgot after Yard House, I scooped up a Ghirardelli hot fudge sundae when the Jack Rabbit screwed me on an early big bet.
Get me Zanaboni.
That's dieting incorrectly.
Brazilian steakhouse group dinner, but I roughly consumed filet mignon, skirt steak, top sirloin steak, lamb, garlic, pork chop, chicken thighs, bacon wrapped chicken, various Italian meats.
Yeah, let's be fair, though, to Mraz. That was on vacation. He normally doesn't eat like that if he's at home. How many tacos did you have the night of the Bob's Bar show?
That was a vacation day. It was the afternoon, and I had
a lot of tacos that day.
And then I topped it off with four slices of pizza at night. And had the bacon, egg, and cheese in show in the morning.
Just slide a rice cake in there. You could have been dieting.
But if I put the eggs and bacon on the rice cake earlier, and then the cheese and sauce on a rice cake later, I'm cutting out carbs left and right.
Right.
Get that cholesterol.
It would have been 49,998 calories instead of the even 50 grand.
Thank God for that walk down the strip. Yeah.
The pounds would have just been melting off had I only eaten the 16 tacos but put the bacon and egg and cheese on a rice cake.
Or did it before 5 o'clock like he was also talking about.
I've graduated to bean pasta. Now I have 4 bowls and 18 meatballs and there's melted cheese on top.
Turkey meatballs.
But we're cutting out the pasta.
Raz lecturing other people that they don't know how to diet correctly when our entire show is built in a decade of you improperly dieting.
You go back to what I looked like in 2014, all right? I couldn't move my head side to side.
Is it a noticeable difference? Picture-wise?
There's a no-limit picture. I'm sure Cap can draw up.
I gotta go back and look then. I don't know what you look like.
Caserta, I just want to give you a heads up before you see this, and it's shocking. There was a night of the overnights where we got a White Castle Crave case, and the challenge was that Mraz would eat the entire Crave case. He got through about 2/3 of it, so that was like 24 hamburgers. And he swelled up like a balloon, and he's wearing a No Limit t-shirt. And he has a hat on. I think it's a Brooklyn Nets hat. His body became so puffy and swollen that the hat eased up on his head. And the shirt itself that said No Limit was crying for a limit. He needed some type of limit on this. And it just ballooned out, and we took a picture. And it is the most shocking and appalling.
Oh, I got to find this.
Pretzel bun?
The shirt was able to write on itself underneath the parentheses, I was wrong.
Help. Protein?
There's always a limit.
Oh, that must have been so uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm sure Cap will pull up out of the archives.
That the was shirt.
An all-timer. Greg Caserta's in. Who are you trashing?
You know, I was going to trash the Patriots offense, but I feel like that's kind of easy, and I feel like you guys will do that eventually.
Well, we just did that last segment.
So,
same thing.
So I'm going to trash the Marvel universe because okay. They just keep rolling out more stuff and it's losing its luster for me. Now, I'm not a diehard fan like some people are. I'm a casual fan at best. But with all the stuff that they're coming out with and they show you what's coming out in 2023 and beyond, just too much stuff.
Yeah.
And I know they're trying to get more stars in. They're bringing in more A-list people for little bit parts. Christian Bale was in one recently. Just enough's enough. We're seeing the same things over and over again. I'm losing excitement over it.
Trash him.
So frustrating.
So Christian Bale, who's Batman, can cross over into the Marvel Universe as a different character?
Yeah, he played a villain in the new Thor movie, which came out.
What are we doing here?
Right? So it's like, initially the appeal was, okay, cool, we're doing this, we're spacing out the movie releases. Now with Disney Plus, you're getting the TV shows, you're getting continuations of these different characters and their stories. Apparently Blade is a comic book character.
Yeah.
So they're doing a Blade movie now.
Now, was Blade the Wesley Snipes character?
Yeah.
And that was a comic book.
Which I didn't know.
And now they're rebooting
it
without Wesley, I guess, because he's probably in jail for tax evasion.
It could be.
Okay.
That might delay things.
Okay. Well, I got it. I appreciate and respect everybody that works here at this office, usually.
Here we go.
I do think that, you know, by and large, we work at a good company with good engineers and good resources and good bosses. But the water situation is ridiculous. Oof. I mean, I'm going to hold up my canister of water that I have that I use every single day. Just for context, once upon a time, I would go to the break room during a commercial break. We have 5-minute commercial breaks. I would wash this out and I would put this under the spigot of the water cooler. And it would fill up and I would come back with approximately 90 seconds to 2 minutes left of the break. This is all I could get before I had to race back. This is, if you're not watching on the stream, is 1/3 of the canister. It's coming out like a trickle.
I mean, it's almost like I've got to gather water as it melts off of the polar ice cap. It's like running down a brook, and I have to try to collect it at the bottom of the brook.
It's just falling out of the machine instead of being, like, sprayed out of the machine. Like, only gravity is giving you water at this point.
It's slightly terrifying. It's almost, it's like being in Vegas in the middle of the drought in that lake that just keeps going down, like that there is no water left. And you've actually emailed our water systems people.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, sorry, construction's going on in the building. They had to turn down the water pressure. But to your point, Bogues, all the other water, our sinks work the same. Yep. Our toilets work the same. Yeah. Everything works the same except multiple water coolers.
The coffee machines that are next to the water coolers that have the same water supply line coming in, as far as I know, are making coffee at the same speed, which involves the water shooshing out of the machine.
This is a bizarre thing. So you can basically, it's like going to the dentist and you get those little water cups. That's all you can get each time you go. You just get like these little sample cups of water.
Now, I believe when I talked to him, I can go back and find the email. I think he, because the machines all say when the water flow gets low, email me because it means the filter has to change. So that's what I emailed him for. It's like, I think it's time for a filter change, you know, whatever. And then the response came back and I think he said the construction issues end this week, so we may be at the finish line here. But it's also gotten worse.
I'm not buying it.
Way worse.
It's got it keeps getting worse.
It's a trickle.
So there might be, maybe there is less water pressure, but maybe also too, it's time to change the filters again.
And you know, I mean, you might just say, well, DA, just go buy your own water and bring it in. And that's true, but I'm trying to be environmentally conscious here by bringing in my own thing and filling it up. That's what you're supposed to do. And here, Merez just choking down to smart water right now.
Thirsty.
I thought that was taunting me because you bought your water and I did not.
Oh, I mean, it could be, yeah. I mean, just buy your water, dude.
I guess I'm trying to do what's right here by filling up a water container.
I assure you, you going to Costco for the 18-pack, nothing's going to change for the environment. It takes a bigger push than that.
Well, either way, this water situation is a disaster, and it's got to be trashed.
Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
Yeah, I don't need the bathroom sink water spitting out at me. I could maybe balance it off a little bit. Yeah.
We also still don't have soap in one of the bathrooms. So.
One?
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah, I love using the little dial hand soap, little pump. That's good. That's sanitary.
We've also got snack machines that take a dollar or don't take a dollar. And if they take the dollar, then they don't give you the food you've asked for. We're off the rails here.
Incognito Man is trashing parents who think they're done when they drop off their kid at sports practice and then go to the bar for a drink or 10.
Whoa.
Hashtag.
Seems specific.
Trash them.
That's just offensive.
Steven is trashing people who drive golf carts on main roads and cause problems in backup traffic.
Hefty, hefty, hefty.
That's funny.
Mariana's trashing people who bring their sick kids to social gatherings and double trashing them for not wiping their nose because, surprise, now I'm sick and so is my son because I can't stand a kid with a runny nose. Hashtag hot garbage.
Total wasteoid.
And support from Rob, the 321 of all people, for Mraz. Mraz is not wrong on this take of a lazy river.
Rob's happy because he needed to message me at 3:30 a.m. today to tell me about Dean wanting to be buried next to his cat. And he's happy I took his sound.
Well, Rob also tweets out a picture of what appears to be kind of a memory wall at his house that says, we have all the cremains of my animals. We also have my mom. My dad has the main urn on his dresser, and we have a small one and a dedicated wall to her. I believe this is the picture of a mini urn of Rob's mom.
Right next to the Barry Sanders bobbleheads? What are we doing in there?
No, again, it looks like a memory wall, Sean. It looks like there's prayer signs and
that's very nice.
Not a Barry Sanders bobblehead. Okay.
I mean, you got
have some
I
more
mean,
water, Sean.
Okay. It's upstairs.
There's not an Aiden Hutchinson jersey on that wall.
It's very insensitive.
Okay. There's only so much shelf space in a house.
Really? What kind of generic, ridiculous take is that?
That's a sportsman.
What, you have one cure, maybe?
You
one what?
What was that again?
A cure.
What's that?
It's like a glass
closed shelving thing you put in your house.
You trying to say Keurig?
No, that's a coffee thing. Maker. No, a Keurig. It's like an armoire, but glass.
Uh-huh. An armoire. I've never heard that word before. Might be right, but I've never heard that before.
Well, I think maybe you're talking about like collecting curios. A curé?
You know, that's it's like a glass.
I think it's called a hutch.
No, a hutch is wood.
Curé is not a real thing. There's no way.
How would you spell curé?
Curio. I think that's it. Curio.
You just said that.
No, you said those are little dolls.
Curé. Well, yeah, no. A curio could be your collection of little things, but it can also be a large kind of glass enclosure.
I feel as if I've derailed the show this segment. I'm going to go check here.
Yeah. I think it's curio. I don't think it's curé, like an armoire.
I think it is.
curé.
How is spelling this word?
C-U-R-E-E, one of that little accent thingies, is part of the entrails of a hunted animal. Yeah, that's the same thing.
No, he means curio. Collection of things inside a big glass. Anyway, let's go back to the original point that Rob won't have a room for a shelf for an urn on its own because there's only so much room for shelves in a house so that he has to have a bobblehead next to an urn.
Everybody's got to put their bobblehead somewhere. Where are you putting them? Next to Ma.
Office desk, maybe?
What kind of take is this? There's only so much room in the house for shelving.
I've got a mansion here.
Don't buy 500 bobbleheads then.
That's a Cosmo Kramer take right there.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Who diets wrong? We diet wrong.
You wanted to cut calories and went rice cake and then added melted marshmallow on it?
It takes away the bread. Because if I sneak a mashed in there, I'm not going to, arrest myself. You guys need to learn something about dieting.
It's the same thing as I'll do the salad, but in the giant taco shell. I'll do the soup in a giant bread bowl. It's like so unnecessary.
The ice cream man came ding-a-ling-a-ding.
This is the guy on front that said he eats cleaner than me, and he puts fluff on a rice cake, and we're the idiots.
We need to learn more about dieting. Sign the guy that tried to lose 100 pounds and gain 20.
And I'm learning how to not diet. You guys don't diet. You just live your life frolicking like these skinny string beans all over the place. What is fluff? Why would we even put it on a rice cake?
Don't know if you noticed. What is that? Don't know if you noticed.
Eat, Santa, eat.
But Pete and Bogish have dieted and lost weight and kept it off.
I'm on the rice cakes now. They cut out the carbs. You can put anything you want on a rice cake.
You had a fat journal for 4 months.
Right, and you can eat a couple of sandwiches between two rice cakes. I got news for you. You're losing more weight than you were if you were eating enough bread.
How could you point the finger at two guys who have dieted successfully?
French onion dip with bacon, but with dipsy doodles.
Have both lost weight and kept it off and say, you guys don't know how to diet correctly. I do.
I've lost weight. Look at that fat picture of me in 2013. I lost weight. That's insulting. I have. I got Pete tucking in his shirt here. It doesn't look like a diet to me.
I mean, again, we created a fat journal. John Sterling read it. And since then, I've got Justin Shackle highlights to play because that's what they used to finally win the battle with Sterling and take some days off. He needed a fad journal. It's your fault.
Mirage is freaking fat.
And we're the skinny ones. We're the wrong ones.
I'm here for fluff.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
The Defensive Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly served the Armed Forces DOD, veterans, and their families. Members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Juan Soto robbed Evan Longoria of extra bases in the eighth last night with a nice catch, but the Padres lost again, 1-0 to the Giants last night. The Soto edition and the Bell edition have not turned into big wins for the Padres as of yet. Our poll question on the day, do you have ashes of a pet around the house? What a great way to end off a happy show. A pet cremation can cost between $70 and $250. A pet urn can cost between $40 and $200. 67% of you say, no, I do not. 33% say, yes, you do. In positive news, Mraz had a birthday cake for Taylor's fish this past weekend.
Also, news coming down from daycare that the Meraz girls are stealing other people's McDonald's pancake breakfast. More news on that tomorrow morning. Thanks to Sean Meraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Bellotti of the Wheels of Steel and audio director. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And Andrew Bogish on your headlines. I'm DA. Be good and be good to one another, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.